Fathers Intimate with Their Children, Part 1. After now having been in Africa for 7 years, I received, while working in Zambia prisons, a clear picture of why Africa has so much trouble developing like other nations in the world do. This is one of the most important lessons God has given me to date, so please pay close attention. Men need to become responsibly involved in the growing up of their children and love them intimately into becoming mature adults. One particular passage says it so extremely clearly. The last two verses of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Listen, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. And if that does not happen, I will come and strike the earth with a curse. This is God speaking to us, and we better listen carefully. God has given man the responsibility to manage and have dominion over his creation. It was not given to women. They are created to be man's helpers. And though all God's instructions to us should always be carefully followed without arguing with him, it is good to attempt to understand the reasons why he instructs us so. I like us therefore to turn for a moment to the second creation story that starts in Genesis 2, verse 4. In verse 7, we read that God created Adam. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Next, God created a special place for Adam in Eden. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Next, God puts Adam in the garden to take good care of it. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Then God teaches Adam his will, his rules, in order to be allowed to represent him. And the Lord God commanded Adam, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." So Adam cannot eat of that one particular tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then God begins thinking of companions for Adam. Our God knows that it is very difficult to live without companionship, friends, just like it is spiritually difficult to have to be alone. We cannot live without receiving love and friendship, just like our Father cannot live without them. We need nourishment for our spirits, but also for our souls and bodies. The Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Then God wants to see what kind of companion Adam might want. God gives him a choice. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that it became. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. In the scriptures we just read, you can notice that God is very involved with Adam. There is a perfectly harmonious relationship between God and his son Adam. And Adam is put in control of his father's creation under God's leadership and direction. Psalm 8, verses 3 through 6 say this also so very clearly after the psalmist first wonders how unimportant we seem to be. When I consider your heavens, the work of your hands, the moon and the stars that you have put in their places, who is man that you are thinking so much of him, and the son of man that you visit with him? But the psalmist answers his own question then by saying, you have placed him a little below Elohim, below yourself, O Jehovah, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to rule over all that you have created and have put all things under his feet. Questions to discuss. Do you notice in this Genesis story of creation that God initially totally focused his attention on forming Adam from soil and on getting him ready to fulfill God's plans here on earth? Did God give Adam a job to do for him? What responsibilities were given to him? Should Adam always obey his God now that he has been made God's representative? Is obeying God with all our heart a way of showing that we honor, respect, and love him? Is that maybe why God tested Adam with the tree to see if he would always love and obey him? Is love not a gift that we give? And if we could not disobey God, could he ever know if we would truly love him with all our heart? Does doing God's will in our lives not prove that we indeed love him? Is God eager for us to love him? Does he not need our love? Do you notice the amazing fact that God even brings animals to Adam so that he can name them, and that they then became whatever Adam said? Do you think that Adam could make the animals become what names he gave them? Or was it God who did the creative work according to what names Adam gave? Is it possible that God brought animals to Adam to see if he might want to name one to become an intimate companion to him, one of his own kind? Can you see here a very basic principle of our God and Father, that he will create nothing for us until we speak it? Is prayer then not a form of speaking into existence what our God wants, praying according to our Father's will? Is Eve already alive when Adam gives names to animals? Do you notice that God is personally involved with his son Adam and loves it? Let us now read further and notice that after he gives names to animals, God notices that no animal could satisfy Adam's longing. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And God took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, Eve, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." More questions to discuss. Was Eve created from the soil like Adam was? Do you realize from the foregoing that God gave Adam his wife comparable to him, though to be his helper? Do you understand how specifically we men have been created by God to have dominion over God's creation, and that Eve was given to man to be his helper? Do you not believe that God will specifically equip us for a task that he has given us? Did God specifically equip Adam for his responsibilities and Eve for hers? It is so clearly visible that a man and a woman by nature tend to think and be motivated so very differently. In the series of lessons called Male and Female Roles God Created in Us, the lessons 40 through 46, this is worked out in much detail. God made us to function so that men and women each can optimally fulfill God's purposes for their lives. A man basically thinks in a manner that is analytical and good for governing, while a woman's thinking is typically focused on building relationships through love. What happens now if a man is not involved in the development processes in his children? As fathers are little involved with their children, the children are not exposed to a man's manner of thinking. And thus the children grow up with a lack of analytical thinking and leadership skills. This is a huge problem in Africa, causing few people to be well equipped to wisely govern its nations, as well as creatively run successful businesses. And as women don't feel safe with the lack of leadership skills of their husbands, they take control of their own lives, rising up against their husbands, creating frustrated men who live their own lives apart from their wives. And children lack a necessary father in their formative years. Crime rates will go up. Poverty follows. And so will incidences of wars. Lack of quality leadership skills lays at the root of this all. Over the years that I have been in Africa, bringing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, I have so often been perplexed about the fact that, though obviously its people are just as intelligent as people anywhere else in the world, yet most of them appear so inept at seeing creative solutions to challenges. In general, people appear to know this about themselves as they, for to them unclear fuzzy reasons, I think, look up to white people as being so much more capable and successful. Problem is a lack of fathers who are involved in intimately loving and raising up their children. Most African children are only brought up by their mothers. Men are just too little or not at all involved. They rather spend time with their friends. In some African cultures, a wife's family even feels that they own her children. And if a wife's uncle would want to sell their child, a wife cannot stop her uncle, and neither can the husband prevent this. Is that maybe why so many men just let go and leave the job of caring for the children to their wives? Here is a key biblical word that touches on this subject, and it is our Heavenly Father Himself who speaks to us in this last chapter of the Old Testament from the book of Malachi. I read now from Malachi 4, verses 1 through 6. Listen carefully. The day is coming burning like an oven when all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. The day that is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of the angelic armies. That will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, because they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of the angelic armies. Remember my servant Moses' law that I commanded him in Mount Horeb for all Israel to keep, with its statutes and judgments. Listen carefully. I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. And if that does not happen, I will come and strike the earth with a curse. Questions to discuss. I wrote just above that we should listen attentively. Do you notice that even the Lord God says here twice the same when he begins speaking? Listen carefully. Listen carefully. Look carefully. Go back a little and listen once more to these words from God. Can you share together what you feel here about our God? Is he an angry, punishing God? Or is he a loving and caring God? Does God show himself here to be a fiercely judging God to both proud and wicked people? Or is he eagerly waiting for us to come close to him and to our families? Do you notice how caring he is toward those who honor him? For those who honor our God, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. The word sun here means the sun that gives us light and heat during the day, but God also calls that sun to have healing in his wings, that is a person. Could this Son of Righteousness point toward our Lord Jesus Christ? Does this son of righteousness not feed us wonderfully well, like stall-fed calves, so that we can grow up healthy? Do you notice that Father God, however, warns us to obey His word and will carefully? Now listen to these words of God once more. God speaks about fathers and children. Listen good to what He warns us about. Listen carefully. The day is coming burning like an oven when all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. The day that is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of the angelic armies. That will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, because they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of the angelic armies. Remember my servant Moses' law that I commanded him in Mount Horeb for all Israel to keep, with its statutes and judgments. Listen carefully. I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. But if that does not happen, I will come and strike the earth with a curse. The spirit of the prophet Elijah will encourage fathers to turn their hearts to their children as they grow up. And he will encourage children to love their fathers. End of the lesson. It will be continued in part 2, lesson 58.